it is inevitably going to go through a generational change, and this it will be a part of that.
Hey there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and this is a special episode of the WAMC News Podcast because the New York political class got a surprise on Thursday when 16-term Democratic Representative Nita Lowey of the 17th House District announced her retirement effective at the end of the term. The 82-year-old chair of the House Appropriations Committee said in a statement, "It's my deep honor and privilege to serve my community and my country, and I will always be grateful to the people who have entrusted me to represent them." For reaction, I spoke with longtime CQ reporter David Hawkins, who's now editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum. David Hawkins, what's your reaction to this somewhat surprising news about Nita Lowey retiring from Congress?
So obviously it is a surprise. She seemed to me, last time I saw her was maybe a month ago, to be having a blast. To be in full command of one of the most powerful positions in Congress, and the first woman ever to chair the Appropriations Committee. She seemed to love the job. She was very good at it. She is somebody who defies all of the stereotypes about Congress not even being able to, pass a resolution declaring its mourning at 8 o'clock in the morning. She got stuff done, and she seemed to relish that work, and I am as surprised as anybody else.
So what happens now, assuming that the Democrats keep control of the House, which is a big if, in the next election? Who is in line to take over on the Appropriations Committee?
So excellent question. I was just looking at that roster myself. The next person in line is another woman whose name is Marcy Kaptur, who represents Akron, Ohio. And I would say the odds, almost always, the Democrats, unlike the Republicans, the House Democrats almost always go with seniority. So they almost always pick the next person in line. But Marcy Kaptur has already been passed over once before. Marcy Kaptur has actually been around in Congress longer than Nita Lowey, but she's been passed over before for one pretty straightforward reason, which is that she's one of only a handful of House Democrats who believes in the right to life, who is not an abortion rights supporter, and in the House Democratic Caucus, that makes you a non-starter for a leadership position. So she will almost certainly get passed over again. After that is a guy from Northwestern Indiana named Peter Visklosky, who I suppose would have a claim on the job. There's been some ethical questions about him in the past that he's. He has emerged from. And then after that, the next person would be another a person whose district is almost adjacent to Nita Lowey's district, only a couple of congressional districts between them, which is Rosa DeLauro, who represents New Haven, Connecticut.
So stop me if you've heard this one before. Could a Clinton represent New York in Congress?
You mean one of the Clintons who's now on a book tour? There's been tons of talk about that. We should remember that in order to be a member of the House of Representatives from a state, you have to live in that state, but you don't have to live in that district. I don't think Chelsea Clinton has had Westchester County as her home address since she was since the Clintons moved to Chappaqua after his presidency. I believe that she lives in Manhattan, but that would not be an impediment for her to run for a seat outside of New York City. So, obviously that's where the speculation will begin. I don't pretend to know Westchester County politics well at all, but every time a potential Clinton could run, they talk about a Clinton running the same way that every time for years and years and years, every time there was any seat open in New England, they talk about who are the available Kennedys to run. So this is the new version of that.
Let's get back to Nita Lowey. She's leaving after, as you say, attaining a very powerful committee chairmanship. She's been in Congress for 3 decades. What does her legacy look like as she wraps up her last term now?
An old saw on Capitol Hill is that there are really three parties in Congress. There are the Republicans and the Democrats, and then there are the appropriators, of which Nita Lowey was appropriator number one as the chairwoman of that committee. That the appropriators are different from the typically partisan, polarized Republican or Democrat because their whole objective every year is to figure out the puzzle pieces of how to spend more than $1 trillion, and they take the work seriously. It's eager to spend more money than it's easier to spend more money than less money. And Mrs. Loy was about spending more money, not less money. She believed in the social safety net. She believed in federal spending as a force for good. And she also believed passionately as an institutionalist that Congress's number one job was to appropriate money, was to set priorities for the country by the way it exercised its power of the purse. She took the work very seriously. She was a fierce defender of her committee's powers and prerogatives. There was some talk about there's been some good government talk about changing the whole Washington budget system so that it's a two-year budgeting system where those spending decisions are only made once every other year. She single-handedly repelled that push by saying, look, I'm an appropriator. I believe that we should be doing this stuff every year, and you're not going to take my power away from me. So I'd say she played the inside game extremely, extremely well.
Talk to me about the dynamics within the House Democratic Conference itself, because, Hoyer and Clyburn and Speaker Pelosi are all certainly getting up there in age. And then you have people like Representative Neal and Nita Lowey herself facing primaries in this next election. So what does her exit say about the current makeup of that conference and what its future might look like?
Well, it is inevitably going to go through a generational change, and it will be a part of that, as you say, right? Ms. Loewy is, I'm looking now, she's born in 1937. Richie Neal, I think, is a little bit younger than that. But yes, the power structure in the House, in part because of, as I said before, the House Democrats, unlike the House Republicans or the Senate, are very adherent to seniority. So you stick around long enough, you get the power. And so that is why, as you said, Speaker Pelosi, Majority Leader Hoyer, Mr. Clyburn, all up in their 70s, sooner or later that dam is going to have to break. Now, that dam of seniority has held for so long that large groups of people who have been lined up as future leaders of the House Democrats have gotten tired of waiting and have moved on. Everybody from Rahm Emanuel, who then went on to be mayor of Chicago and White House chief of staff, to a guy named Chris Van Hollen, who decided to take a Senate seat, to the guy who's now the Attorney General of California. So who is in that next generation of leadership? I don't think we quite know. What we do know is that the House Democrats are no longer have a white male majority. They have white men are a plurality of the caucus, but they are no longer the majority. And so very, very likely the next group of leaders in the House, the younger members, might want to take a challenge at that seniority system and put more people of color, more women, geographic diversity, ethnic diversity, gender diversity, sexual orientation diversity, to bring that, to elevate those values over seniority into the next generation of leaders.
David Hawkins, editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum and our frequent guest on the Congressional Corner, thank you so much for taking some time today.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it for this special episode of the WAMC News Podcast, and stay tuned to WAMC and The Space for more on Nita Lowey's retirement and what comes next. Till next time, I'm Ian Pekus.